Welcome to Maximum Geek. I'm Josh Curry.
And I'm Fed Snibrick. Wait, I read that backwards. I'm Jeff Kervin.
Yeah, I didn't read it totally backwards, because it'd be Nivrick Fedge backwards. You just read each word backwards, which is clearly some sort of weird dyslexia where every word is just read backwards, not the entire. What?
So anyway,
all right. So we want to talk. We want to start out talking about something new. We might want to try with the podcast if there's any interest in it. Now, if we get a little interest in it, we'll give it a try. Something out there called Blog Talk Radio. Basically, it allows you to do a live podcast and actually take callers. Now the downside is because we're poor and we don't want to spend money on this until we know we're going to do it on a, you know, once a month basis. It is a long distance number that you have to call into the radio to call in, but you can call in and be part of our show. We can take callers and we can badmouth you. Wait, was that my out loud voice?
And really, yeah, long distance isn't the horrible.
No, if you've got a cell phone with minutes, then it
penalty it used to be. I mean, yeah, most cell phones give you free long distance now, and let's face it, but you know, we record in the evening, so you're probably into your free minutes then anyway. So it shouldn't be too much of a hardship for people to call in. The question is, does anyone really give a crap?
Yeah, because I mean, if we're just gonna do it and do this, but use their recording system, I'm not up for that, because their recording system is interesting, but you know, we've got our system down and we can do ours just fine. Those shows would be available later. We would get them as an MP3 and make them available on our site. So you know, for those of you who can't tune in live, you'd still get it, but you'd get to hear us banter with someone other than us. And you know, and knowing us, it could take calls on anything. So if that is something you are interested in, you have to go to MaximumGeek.org/forums, go into the Maximum Geek forum, and the topic for this podcast, Maximum Geek number 66, and say, hey guys, we want Blog Talk Radio, you know, and we'll try one. If it works out well, you know, it may become a regular thing, every other week, once a month, something. You know, we really like the idea, and we've been talking about that for a long time. We wanted to find a way for people to call in and do this live, because that is something that we really dig. We think we could have a lot of fun bashing Mac users and Linux users, right, Jeff?
Yeah, I think that'd be a hella good time. I'm also considering doing a Sunday night mobile technology talk show, but again, it's greatly, it's greatly dependent on interest, because let's face it, if no one's going to call, I do have better things to do. That one is really sketchy. I really want to do the Maximum Geek show, because like Josh said, we can take calls on almost anything.
Yeah.
What we don't know, we'll make up.
Well, tonight will be a perfect example of us going off script. Well, not really off script, but off the beaten path and talking about something you don't normally hear about on Maximum Geek. There's something else I want to ask about. If you guys would be interested in seeing show notes before we post the show, because I usually have them earlier in the day, but I could put them together on a Monday, you know, and you guys could see and make comments before we do a show, when we're recording a show, and say, you know, and ask specific questions before we do the show, and we could get some interactivity that way if people are interested. I could post, you know, even on Saturday or Sunday, post a version of the show notes, you know, that's our starting point, and, you know, we'll add topics as they come up during the week, because, you know us, topics. We have those? But that's something I was thinking about today, is if people would be interested in it. I mean, you know, again, it's an effort I feel no need to put forward, but if it's something that'll get people interested in, at least in corresponding with us, because I know people listen to us, because I see how many people download us, and if you're just downloading us and not listening to us, well, I don't have anything to say to you because you won't hear it anyway. mostly, though...
I think I just twisted my brain.
Well, that's not too hard to do. In other news related to our other projects, I mentioned a few weeks ago I'm going back to Atlantis, I'm gonna be writing that.
Going back.
I've also started a blog focused on Atlantis. First couple posts are up. It is on a whole new domain I registered, AtlantisRises.net. Should be up. I registered it yesterday. Everybody should be able to get to it by tomorrow for sure.
I really like that domain name because even though the book is, you know, the actual title for the series is Ancient Greek for Atlantis Rising, not Rises. I think the Rises, you know, the present tense, is nice for a blog where it gives people a day-to-day view of what it's like to produce a serial. And it's not at all because every variant of Atlantis Rising was already
taken. That's what originally sparked it, but when I came up with Atlantis Rises as one of the options, I really liked it. And I really like it because I do plan on doing a lot of that. Right now, I've got a simple character bio for Terry.
I'm not being entirely
I've got a character bio up for Terry. I don't know if Jeff's even seen that yet. I put that up yesterday. And I plan on, you know, I plan on doing a behind the scenes. At first I thought that might take away from my creative process and take away time. But you know what? It's actually a great way to keep me interested, to keep me thinking about it. I'm doing something similar with Pandora's Asylum. I've started a blog there that I'm not quite ready to make public because I don't have a front end for the site at all. But there is a developer's blog I'm putting together for Pandora's Asylum, which we'll talk about starting out talking about my history as a game designer and what's made me decide to become a game designer. And from there, we're going to move on to a lot of the process. And I plan on going through a lot, you know, and explaining a lot of the process I'm taking. And, you know, taking feedback, talking to people, really just kind of a real solid behind-the-scenes look at the production of a video game. Or as the blog says, the building of a video game, of a gaming empire. Game design empire, something. I can't remember exactly what my tagline was. So I just wanted to let people know about those. If you are a fan of Atlantis, and I know there's one or two of you out there, I should be posting Atlantis 4 to Fictionalize this week. Before, you know, in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to go ahead and post 5 because it's done, and then I'm working on 6, and 6 is already half done. So we'll be, you know, halfway through the second arc of Atlantis here before long, and I'm going to continue writing it. Less regular of a schedule, but still, it'll be there. And Atlantis Rises is all part of that relaunch, all part of that. Okay, I've added AtlantisRises.net to the cover on Fictionalize so people know where to go, and it's going to be one of the main places I blog stuff. That and the Pandora's Asylum blog, so... There you have it. Any other news we want to talk about? You know, Jeff's back doing writing on your palm. We're switching over most everything to WordPress. Maximum Geek won't be changing.
And I am newly inspired by what Josh just said, and I'm actually on DreamHost right now, figuring out how instead of just redirecting JeffCurvin.net to writingonyourpalm.net. I can actually fully host it and set up a WordPress blog, and that will be my author's blog.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what the hell I'm doing.
You want me to go do it? DreamHost is incredibly easy. For those of you who don't know, if you're looking for web hosting, I can hook you up with a coupon code that'll take care of the entire setup fee. It's a $50 off on any plan you go with, so you won't have to pay the setup fee, and then you can just, you know, pay your monthly or whatever.
Well, do I have to create a new FTP CGI runs as user?
You do not, Jeff. Okay. You just have to go in and change the options for that URL and then add it as a hosted URL.
Why don't you go ahead and do that? Well,
anyway, but for people who are looking for hosting, and if you don't want to spend your entire all your time working with working with your hosting provider, DreamHost has a really smooth panel. I really dig it. Like I said, I can hook you up with a deal, and I'm not at all
It would be easy enough for me to handle if I, you know, weren't like trying to do three other things at the same time.
But anyway.
I'm just
I am hosting a fantasy football server this year. It is PHP based. I am in charge. If we get a lot of interest, we can set up multiple leagues and all that. Our goal is, you know, 8 to 10 teams. Yeah. Right now it's Jeff and I, but I'm sure we can get some more
right
people.
Right now we have
We've got some feelers out there, and I'm sure we'll get some more interest. But I'd like to get 8 to 10. Or
we've got my fighting platypi versus
Coruscant Wraiths. That's right. Star Wars name. I know you're shocked.
Yeah.
I
think the platypi.
If you
want
to sign
ass.
Up, go ahead and go to ffl.maximumgeek.org just
come on, a venomous mammal.
Just shut up. Just sign up and it'll send me an email saying, "Hey, somebody signed up," and I'll approve you and we'll take it from there. Other than that,
okay, while Josh sets up jeffcurvin.net domain, we've got some more news on the Transformers movie that's coming out.
Badass
in July.
News.
There has been the writers in a live chat on Yahoo revealed which Autobots and Decepticons are going to appear in the movie, or at least appear prominently in the movie. And here's the lowdown. We've got, for the Autobots, Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, Jazz, Ratchet, and Ironhide. The Decepticons, we've got Megatron and Starscream, again, Brawl and Bonecrusher, who I think were both Constructicons, if I remember correctly. Barricade, Scorponok, Frenzy, and Blackout. Now, they mention Frenzy, but they don't mention Soundwave. So I'm a little confused there. But not only do we know the names, and keep in mind that the writers have come out and said that this is very much a reimagining of they are looking at the characters and figuring out how these robots would realistically transform from vehicles that appear to be perfectly normal until they turn into robots. So the look of these characters is going to be very different than, you know, what you're used to from the cartoons. How do we know? Well, because some of the models have been leaked onto the great interweb. And we'll have a link to that in the show notes. There are some kick-ass designs. I mean, you know, Optimus Prime doesn't look exactly like he did before, although word on the street is Peter Cullen will be doing the voice.
And,
Bulker
will also be back doing Megatron.
Frank Bulker?
He is in talks. Cullen is signed. So that is some good news. And I gotta say,
that
there's a link
very,
in the show notes.
Happy.
I gotta say, Prime looks badass.
The new version of Prime looks very different from the cartoon. He looks a lot more anime style. Yeah, in truck mode, he's a big Kenworth, you know, semi, you know, with the big nose on those Kenworth diesels. And when he transforms, he looks freaking badass. And these are real models. They're going to release toys based on the movie, And these actually work. These actually transform, and they actually look this way.
Yeah, that's one thing they really wanted. They wanted more realism in how they transform.
Yeah. On this website that Josh found, we've got Incinerator. Who isn't listed on the Who's Who. He's a Sikorsky MH-53 Pave-Low military helicopter, and in robot mode looks pretty awesome.
We're pretty sure that's, the thought around town is that that's Blackout, but I'm not familiar with Blackout. A lot of the Decepticons I'm not real familiar with, Megatron, Starscream, Brawl, Scorponok, Frenzy.
There's a close up. There's a color shot of the helicopter one, and then there's a better detail that shows the helicopter whether he's Blackout or whatever he is. But the one that transforms from a Pave Low, you've got the big glossy shot, and then you've got,
and these are actually like toy prototypes.
Yeah, this shot of. You've got an unpainted model or a toy prototype, and it just looks freaking awesome. I'm going to have to buy these. I tend to avoid collecting anything physical. It was actually a hard call to go for the V for Vendetta collector pack that has a little scaled down Guy Fawkes mask. Because it's like, do I really need yet another knickknack in my apartment? But I'm going to have to buy these frickin' toys. Scorponok looks completely badass. Probably the scariest looking robot scorpion I've ever seen. And there's a picture of what we assume to be Starscream, because it's obviously
a jet of some sort.
Looks evil, so it's probably a Decepticon, and it's obviously transformed from a jet. He's in robot mode, but he's obviously transformed from some kind of jet, and just looks frickin' awesome. The one thing that you can really see, from these leaked prototype shots, is that the Transformers, the robots in the movie are going to appear to be a lot less anthropomorphic in terms of proportions than the ones on the TV show. They're not, on the TV show, whether you're talking about Megatron or Prime or Prowl or any of those guys, the proportions of the character were very much like a human in a suit.
Yeah.
These are very, very obviously.
They're meant to look like they can really work. And tell you what, I'm excited. I was thinking about this earlier, and I'm okay with the designs I'm seeing. I'm okay with those being the Transformers my daughter thinks of. Because I'll tell you what, there've been a lot of redesigns of them across the board, and while I've thought some of them were okay. These are redesigns I can get behind. There's no frickin' Optimus Primal, because why the hell they need to transform into goddamn animals, I don't know. We had enough of that. we had enough of that with the damn Dinobots. Okay? No more of that crap.
Dinobots,
they were cool, but... and there was Scorponok, but...
at least Grimlock.
You didn't need to do that with all Transformers, because there were the animal version of the Transformers, which, let's not talk about that reimagining. But as far as the reimaginings go, this one is good. I'm digging it, and I hate to say it, but I'm actually excited to see what Bay does. And you don't know how painful that is for me to say.
why would it be painful?
I'm getting really excited.
What, you don't like Michael Bay? You didn't like The Rock? You didn't like Bad Boys?
I didn't say I didn't like any of his movies.
You didn't like Armageddon?
I didn't say I didn't like any of his movies, but he's got some questionable films.
I mean, yeah, Armageddon was much more popcorn than Deep Impact, but it's still a kick-ass movie. You just have to kind of... There are potholes you could drive one of those big
I'm okay
rovers
with
through,
the first hour and a half of Armageddon. And then it's like... I get bored on the asteroid. Yep, the asteroid, yep, they're still on the asteroid. Yep, it still sucks. Yep, okay. Yeah, it's still being bad. So, hey, did you get hate mail from Alan about last week's Maximum Geek?
I didn't.
Huh. He said that he sent some hate mail to you. Maybe you haven't gotten it yet. He actually posted this to the forums yesterday. I was going to start setting up the show notes for tonight's show because I start putting them on the forum early, and you know, so I can write them as I go and update them. And Alan says, we're talking about the hate mail I was trying to get from Mac users. What show was that? Was that 64? That was 64. He said he sent you hate mail, and I was hoping, I was like, because I didn't get hate mail because I was being reasonable. Damn me and my reasonableness.
I don't recall any hate mail, so...
Well, alright, that was totally off topic, but that'll move us right along. I'm really excited for the Transformers movie. I can't wait to see what they do with live-action Transformers, because I gotta tell you, it could be very freaking cool. The footage I've seen, because I've seen some behind-the-scenes footage,
Extremely cool.
Stuff I've seen has got me excited. The storyline sounds like it's interesting, and like I said, they were smart enough to go, hey, the fans really want Cullen, the fans really want Welker. They're going to get anybody they can back, I think, to do the voice work, and,
I really don't think they're going to get the voice jazz, though.
Well, I don't know. Little formaldehyde
on account of Scatman Crothers.
But
dead.
I'm sure they'll find somebody who can doing a good impersonation, or get something close, or and do something good. I'm hoping.
But yeah, I am really really encouraged that they realized that if they put this out with anyone but Peter Cullen doing the voice of Optimus Prime, a certain percentage of the fans could cry foul.
That would have really lost.
And that they care to get those details right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad they're reinventing. I'm glad they're going back to the beginning and looking at it and trying to update it. And at first, I wasn't okay. I'm like, hey, Bumblebee isn't a bug. I'm not okay with that. But you know what?
Yeah, he's a Camaro now.
A bug isn't all that interesting.
That's going to be a little weird.
Bugs aren't all that interesting.
And a Camaro is? Come on, how white trash are you?
What's wrong with that? Oh.
Did I say that?
Yeah,
alright,
I think we've driven the Autobots into the ground. Driven them into the ground? Their ship crashed in the mountain?
Anyway,
okay, here's some interesting Sony news. This is our last little bit of news before we get into the deep, 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 deep topics.
We're actually going to cover some serious topics this week, which is a departure for us. And I'm not sure how well
we'll find out. Sony hasn't even begun PS3 production. Nintendo's been producing frickin' Wii's for a while now. Sony hasn't even begun. And my question is, do they realize how little... demand there's going to be for the PS3. Maybe they realize that, hey, this isn't going to blow anybody's socks off. I mean, not price with the price. Maybe they're holding back. But yeah, they haven't even started. So I just thought that was interesting and worth a mention since we've talked a whole lot on this show about Sony and their next generation monstrosity. Wait, was that my out loud voice?
Sony's gonna suck much ass.
Only if you're lucky, Jeff.
PS3, and I really just don't. On the other hand, what do you think of the rumors that were surfaced by Electronic Arts that the the Wii might sell for as little as 170.
You know, I didn't touch those because I've seen a lot of rumors like that, but, oh my fucking god, I'll buy two. Just to help keep Nintendo in business, man, I gotta say, that would be a killer price.
See, I've seen lots of, you know, lots of rumors, you know, floating around, but this is actually coming from the CEO of Electronic Arts, who might know something.
If that's really the case, then...
Yeah, Joe Blow off the street, I don't really care what he thinks it, you know, it's going to come out at, but the CEO of Electronic Arts might know.
Well, all they've said so far is
or
under
at least
250.
Might know enough to make an educated guess.
All he said so far is under 250, but we'll see. All right. It's time for some serious talk. First of all, we're going to talk... This one shouldn't be a long conversation. Turns out that the illegal wiretapping Bush was doing... Is illegal. I know people are astounded, but it's official. A judge, you know, someone who might know about the law, maybe. You know, I mean, it's not a Supreme Court justice, so, you know, there's more of a chance that they'll know these days, about the law, rather than just... Wait. I'm getting a little political. It turns out... it's illegal, and Bush reportedly said, wiretapping? What wiretapping?
There is no wiretapping here.
Dick, did you know about any wiretapping? And Cheney reportedly said, huh, wanna go hunting? Wanna go hunting?
If there were wiretapping,
Anyway, now that we've done our bad political... There's no punchline to this. There's no... duh. You know, this is the common sense news item of the day. We may have to start hey, that illegal thing we're doing? Turns out, doesn't matter who you are, it's illegal.
Mr. President, come to my attention that, it's perfectly legal to wiretap Democrats.
You know what? Don't give them any ideas. Now we have the rub, as it were. Yes, the rub. We got our big topic of the evening. I'm gonna let Jeff start because I've got a lot to say about this.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna give you
the 50 cent.
The facts of the case.
Yeah, the 50 cent version, and then I'll
come. Let me see here. Hang on a second. I gotta bring up the. Oh, great! Look, a whole bunch of do you owe the IRS spam? Why do I have this in my inbox?
All right. Well, what have you been searching for today, Jeff?
Yeah. Shut up. All right. I just want to make sure I get the numbers right, and I'm not just pulling stuff out of my ass. All right. Okay. Here, we all know that that our current government is really hot to trot about privatizing just about anything. So they've come up with a bold new idea. They're going to privatize the collections in the IRS. This is reported by David K. Johnston in the New York Times. If you owe back taxes to the federal government, you're not going to hear from the IRS, you're going to hear from a private debt collector. Within the next 2 weeks, the IRS will turn over data on 12,500 taxpayers, each of whom owes $25,000 or less in back taxes to three collection agencies. Larger debtors will continue to be pursued by the IRS unless you're cheating on estate taxes, in which case they've actually laid off all of those auditors. I guess they've decided they'll get away. They can't repeal the state tax or the estate tax, so they'll just not enforce it. Now, here's the part that I don't understand. If they continued to use the IRS auditors, or not even auditors, just customer service people, to try to get this, try to get this stuff, they would get over the next 10 years $9 billion, at a cost of 3 cents on the dollar for overhead. Turning this over to private collection agencies over the next 10 years, they're going to pay 23 cents on the dollar overhead. But yeah, so it's more expensive, but they're going to bring in a whopping $1.4 billion. Now, if you're better at math than the federal government, you realize this is completely stupid. It's actually 64 times less efficient than doing the same thing in-house, but they're outsourcing it anyway. Now, for a deeper look at this topic, we're going to turn over to a former IRS customer service worker who knows the inner workings of this federal agency far better than I do.
Okay.
Josh?
Well, let me lay out a couple things. First of all, let me give you my credentials. For 5 years, I was a phone rep. I handled collections of less than $25,000. I handled collections as part of my job. Okay, I did the job that they're farming out. They don't really go after people, okay? The IRS isn't real keen on going after you if you owe less than $25,000. And a lot of my stuff was incoming calls, but I had to learn all of it. I knew how to do any of it. I wasn't allowed to place levies and liens and such, but I could do it. I could probably place levies better than they did in New Orleans, but wait, that's a different kind of levy. Anyway... I've got the IRS street cred, okay? I know the process, I know the system. I know a lot of things that apparently the government doesn't realize. First of all, this is only the latest of attempts to privatize some portion of the Internal Revenue Service. They tried to privatize, they did an experiment with two call centers for customer service, which handles some collections. They handle all your tax law questions. They'll help. You can call them, and they'll help you do your whole goddamn tax return. Okay, I used to be one of those guys. I would, you call. I would help set you up on payment plans. I would, I'd do all that stuff. Okay, the bottom line is, when they farmed that out, they found out that they were actually more error-prone than the Internal Revenue Service. Now, the Internal Revenue Service does not have, great accuracy, okay? They do have, they have very stringent rules on how you handle a call. You can give the right answer and still fail a call, okay? That's part of the, hey, it's the government. But I'm not going to get into all that. The bottom line is, the accuracy of these farmed out call sites were worse, and they stopped the program. So they decide, okay, let's move collections over. Now, the IRS has gone back and forth on collections over the last few years. Their policies have changed repeatedly, especially on under $25,000. And that $25,000 number shifts within the IRS. That's kind of a magic number at how they handle collections. There are different procedures for over that amount. And that's the bottom line. But the bottom line is, now, no matter how much you owe, you're going to be in collectors calling you. And that's not a good system either. But I just don't see that turning over these collection agencies is... I can see a smart way to do it. The IRS would be smarter to sell the damn debt to the collection agencies, which they probably can't do legally. Okay, honestly,
I'm pretty sure U.S. tax.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the only way this becomes a good deal for anyone. Okay, if and tax code is malleable beyond belief. So today you couldn't do it. Tomorrow, who the fuck cares? Okay? Now I'm going to get into the tax code in a minute because you don't know what you've unleashed. Let's talk specifically about Bush's tax policies. The man's a moron. The man won the first election. Well, okay. Almost won the first election on his tax policies, on his promised rebates, on all this bullshit. Well, what no one has still figured out that those big refunds and all that crap that happened when he was first in office, that goes away in 2010 and comes back to bite us all in the ass. First of all, his handling of tax law related things sucks. And I'm the first to tell you that the tax system sucks monkey ass, okay? I have no love for the system. With the intricate tax code they have the only working system that's out there, and it doesn't work, okay? There's no fixing the system. There is no fixing our system of taxation. The tax code is too much. It's too malleable. It's not malleable. It's too many freaking amendments. Too many exceptions. Too many, if you hop on your right leg on the third Tuesday of the month, while you're buying your lunch, it's deductible. If you make more than $100,000 a year. Okay? There's too much lobbying. There's too much bullshit. Anything they're doing to fix it is just, you know, sticking your fingers in a goddamn dam that, you know, that's falling apart around you. It's like, my thumb isn't going to fucking stop this. But this plan here, you'd think, you know, there's a lot of people out there who owe. There's a lot of people out there who don't file. Jeff, there's a lot of people out there who just ignore the IRS.
I filed years ago.
There's a lot of people out there who just ignore the IRS because they can. And so something needs to be done about collections, but man, farming out to find a better system, man. And I'm not for big government. I want that to be clear. I'm not for big government. I no longer have any vested interest in the IRS. I don't work there. My mother's retired from there. I don't care. I have one friend who works there, and he can get another job. I don't care whether they keep the customer service reps in business. I don't care about it. That's not what I care about. I care about how they're spending our money and what the hell they're doing with it. And a worse system than we've got is ridiculous. And like I said, the tax code, the tax system is broken. One thing, whenever you bring up taxes, people want to debate it. There's no debate. It sucks. The only answer is to rebuild it. How you rebuild it is a whole other debate. You start from scratch, flat tax, whatever. I don't know. I do think I know, but that's not what this debate is about. Okay, it's not what this conversation's about. I'm trying to keep it on topic here.
It's not really a conversation. This is a Kervin-esque rant, and I'm just watching someone else.
Dude,
do it.
It's not like I've never ranted before. But this is something this was my life for 5 years, was doing taxes, working inside the system, seeing how fucked up it is. There are things I can't tell you because they would come get me. I can't tell you the inner workings of the IRS, really, because it's actually not legal to do that. Okay, when you work there, there are things you'll never get to talk about without them coming after you. All right, and it's not super secret or anything. It's just if you don't go around telling people how it works. That's the rule. But the bottom line is,
first rule of the IRS, nobody talks about the IRS.
Yeah, they really scare you when you first start working there, and after a while you realize, whatever. It's a government agency, it looks like a government agency, it smells like a government agency, runs like any other goddamn government agency.
Boy, does
my
it.
Wife now works for the post office, oh my god, it's the same thing. And if you want to privatize something, there you go. Anyway.
Actually, the Postal Service is one of the few government agencies that actually already turns a profit. They're doing fine.
I know.
Leave them alone. Also, leave the Weather Service alone, all right? We don't need to pay AccuWeather for every goddamn thing.
Well, you know, okay, this is funny. Okay, I come from a long line of government workers on my mom's side. My grandfather actually worked for the Weather Service for 30-some years. he was actually a weatherman for the National Weather Service.
The Weather Service works fine.
Well,
okay,
the IRS doesn't work fine. And I'm the first to admit it, but turning it over to fucking collection agencies, that's the last thing you need to do. The first thing you need to do is figure out how, you know, look at it. Just don't just say, hey, here's what we're going to do. This stinks of no planning. This stinks of, you know, another, I don't even know who the current commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service is. I know Rosati's not it anymore. It's a boneheaded move. A, it's not going to get more money. It's not going to, you know, it's not more efficient. And maybe 10 years from now it might start being, maybe. But if you're putting duct tape on this thing now, saying, okay, now we'll start fixing things 5-10 years from now, here's where we'll be. Because I'll tell you what, on new collections, it'll be more effective. I will say that. The back collections, nothing. But on new collections, this will be a lot more effective. This will be a lot. I mean, but it's the back debt I'm worried about. You know, you could change IRS policies to make it more effective to collect future debt. This is not something you need to do to collect future debt. You know, it's ridiculous. Do you agree with me there, Jeff? Or, I mean, from what you... Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. In the future, people are going to know that, you know, just knowing that you'll be getting those goddamn calls, because I'll tell you what, I often ignore my phone ringing. If it says 800 service, I ain't answering it. But I got to say, it's ridiculous. This is the dumbest plan I've ever heard of. Like I said, I'm not saying I'm for big government, but I'm not for privatizing everything either. Because you know what? Privatizing everything just puts money in the pockets of fucking big corporations, which are 10 times worse than fucking big government. Because, you know, actually, they're the same damn thing.
That's the problem, is that this government is convinced that, you know, by privatizing something, you know, the forces of competition will provide you a more efficient and better result than doing things publicly, which is why they hate Medicaid, which is why they hate Social Security, because these are government programs that work flawlessly, well, not flawlessly, but they work well and at a far, far, far lower overhead than any private company could manage. Of course, private companies could probably manage less overhead if they quit paying their CEOs billions of dollars, but we'll get into that later.
Not tonight. And that's the bottom line. This privatization is, A, not better for the country. B, privatization in general, don't just say... People just say smaller government. I say smarter government, and that leads to smaller government. This isn't smarter. This is, hey, we want to give some of the collection agencies money because they, you know, they have a strong lobby, and the Bush administration is all about the dollar signs, because I'm sure it's greasing their pockets just fine. I'm sure, you know, they're coming out ahead on this, but the country isn't. You know, this isn't what the, you know, and there are going to be some seriously polarized opinions on this. The opinions are going to be, hey, everything should definitely be privatized. I mean, I don't want the government, you know, involved in anything. They're going to be, you know, everybody's going to be an extreme in general. They're going to be the people who say, yeah, well, the Internal Revenue Service is illegal, and they shouldn't be doing this because now they're going to collect money, even more money, and that's illegal, too. Okay, it's not illegal, by the way. I mean, you know, I got to come down on the government side somewhere. As much as I don't like it, it's perfectly legal. Just like wiretapping could be legal if it got written in. You know, it's all about...
Actually,
it'd be tough. I mean, it would take a lot.
See, they want you to think that, but it violates the Fourth Amendment.
Know.
So you'd actually have to repeal part of the Bill of Rights.
But that's not possible. I mean, you know, it's not going to happen. Just a second. I have to hold my cat while the... I guess I've got a cat now. While the dogs come in
cat.
And go in their crates.
Josh just got a cat.
Yeah, he doesn't have a name yet. Okay. Anyway, so it's just the bottom line is, what the fuck? No one's thinking this is a dumb plan. Fix things. Stop breaking them more. That's my plea to the Bush administration. You don't have much longer. Just stop breaking shit. That's all I ask. You have any heartfelt pleas for the Bush administration before we move along from the Josh-like rant?
Okay. No, not really.
All right. Next up, and I would really like to know what you guys think of tonight's show and our main topics. New cup. I'd really like to know what people think of our departure from our normal topics, whether this was worth listening to or not, basically. Yes, it was mostly a Josh rant, but hopefully you got some good information out of it, and feel free to ask me questions in the forums.
Hopefully you know more about taxes than you did before.
Feel free to ask me questions in the forums.
May even care.
Seriously, I mean, I want to know if...
Ask Josh tax questions in
the
forums.
Now, wait a second. I said about taxes. I didn't say tax questions. Okay, I'm not doing people's taxes for free. This needs to be made clear. I didn't even do our taxes last year yet. I'm waiting for the movie. Anyway.
Yeah, your taxes are going to be all kinds of screwy this year with buying.
Well, I haven't done last year's yet. I should do those.
I can fill out a 1040 EZ every year.
I'll be doing a full 1040 next year. Probably not this year, but next year I'll be doing a full 1040. Anyway, all right, here we go. That's it. I do want to hear what you guys think of our unusual topic, primary topic for this evening. Although I'd say Transformers ended up being a far bigger topic than I originally thought it would be. All right, now, Jeff?
Oh, and the blog at jeffcurvin.net is up
and running. See, I got it all set up for you, and you got my email about your username and stuff, right?
And I set up WordPress and actually kind of sort of know what I'm doing, except I put there's a typo on the front page.
Well, it's easily fixed. All right, Jeff, why don't you tell us something about email options on that Pocket PC you got there?
Okay, something I've been spending most of my time recently, when I'm not working hard, because I got the day job thing going on there.
You don't have a day job.
I could have a day job.
Well, but you couldn't have a blowjob.
I'm totally sidetracked. Okay. Sadly, this is probably true.
I've been grounded by my wife.
I've been spending a lot of time looking for the perfect email solution.
Email solution? What?
For my, everything, really. I mean, what I need is something where I can keep all of my, where I can archive everything and be able to easily find and refer to it later, be able to access email once and only once. I don't have to process the same email in multiple different places. If I process email on my handheld, then it's no longer in my inbox at home in Outlook or at the office in Outlook. And basically, and it supports folders that sync and all. Yeah, and between two different Outlook installations and my Pocket PC. What I'm doing right now First off, POP3 is completely ill-suited to this. So most of the POP3 accounts that you get from, you know, from like your ISP, completely useless for what I need to do. What I'm doing right now is a really just completely bizarre Rube Goldberg solution. First, I've got a bunch of email aliases that all point to my Gmail account. I also have all of my RSS feeds through RMail going into my Gmail account. So everything gets dumped into that one bucket. Then that
bucket,
I have POP3 turned on, but I never use it. The only reason I have POP3 turned on is because you have to turn it on to be able to use SMTP. SMTP stands for Simple Mail Transport Protocol, or as I like to think of it, send mail to people. Both of my Outlook installations and my Pocket PC all use Gmail's SMTP server for outgoing mail. So that my outgoing mail is also archived in my Gmail account. Okay, so that takes care of that. And I've got all of my email getting dumped into Gmail. But I was using Gmail, just using web clients everywhere, and that kind of sort of worked, but you lose a lot of stuff that way. You lose, on the Pocket PC, it's a lot nicer to actually use the mail client that comes with it than to do everything in web forms, you know, where you've got this tiny little box that you're typing in, and it's very constrained. And on the desktop, I've got Outlook 2007. It frickin' rocks. I want to use it. So I need a way to get Gmail into all of my Outlook, Outlook and Outlook Mobile installations seamlessly and have everything sync with everything else. So I've got Gmail forwarding to my Fastmail account. Fastmail provides free or cheap IMAP accounts. IMAP is Internet Messaging Application Protocol, I think, is what that stands for.
You're making
the nice
that
thing
up.
About IMAP is that instead of having all of your email get dumped onto whichever client you're using, all of your email actually stays on the server, and your email clients just kind of reflect what's on the server. So I've got Outlook at home, Outlook at work, and my Pocket PC all pulling from the same IMAP store. The problem there, though, is that I'm cheap, and the Outlook or the IMAP account that I've... God damn it, Roland. I've already told him once that we're recording Maximum Geek, and yet he calls back.
Well, maybe we're done, because it's not like we're long-winded or anything. Oh, by the way, IMAP stands for Internet Message Access Protocol.
Okay, so I was close. I got the letters right, and I got the I and the P right. That's like 78% right there. Okay.
Or half.
Well, Josh tries to figure out how I got 78% from getting the letters and two of the names right. Okay.
I'm not giving you credit for the letters.
Where was I? See? Okay, so I'm cheap, and the Fastmail account that I use only gives me a limited amount of space. So I have to very carefully delete all the messages that I'm not actually using at the moment. Yeah, which is no big deal. I can delete stuff out of my IMAP store because if I ever need to go back and look something up, it's all still in Gmail. It's just a browser away. But IMAP has got some other quirks that are kind of weird.
I never had good luck with IMAP.
Really doesn't work very well on the It doesn't work very well with the it works beautifully on Outlook 2007 on my home machine running Vista, on my work machine running XP. It frequently doesn't show me messages, even though it lists the proper message count in the tree view. So, you know, in the tree, I'll see, you know, my IMAP inbox with three messages in it, and then I look at it, and there's two there, and it knows there's a third one, it's just not showing it to me. And the Pocket, you know, mobile Outlook on the Pocket PC is a little twitchy with IMAP as well. So, yeah, IMAP is more powerful and more flexible than POP3, but it's also quite a bit more upkeep.
Yeah, I have to agree. I tried
IMAP. I've decided to go the next further step on, and I've become an affiliate for smartphone.net. This is a company that provides hosted exchange accounts. So you'll be able to go to you go to forsmartphone.net and you sign up for an account. It's like for the basic service, which doesn't sync with Outlook, it just uses web clients and mobile. It's $3.99 a month. For the pro service, which does not only sync with Outlook but provides you a copy of Outlook, it's $6.99 a month.
Wow, really? $6.99.
So for $6.99 a month, $6.99 a month. Now the catch is you have to pay a year in advance, so it's like $84. But still,
wow, that's interesting.
But you know, for that you get a hosted exchange account, which means, you know, you set up Outlook, you set up Outlook Mobile on a Pocket PC, and it seamlessly and instantly syncs all of them together, all of your mail. They provide up to 1 gig of storage for your mail.
Wow.
All of your mail, plus all of your Outlook calendar, contacts, and tasks information. And if you've got a Windows Mobile 5 device, it even provides push email. So you get email as soon as it comes in, just like a BlackBerry.
See, I'm a big fan of Exchange. I moved most of our internal stuff over to Exchange manages it. Externally, it's a POP3 account that gets managed by our internal Exchange server. And I gotta say, I love Exchange for the control it gives me. And I would love to have that control over my personal stuff, so...
Yeah, so that's what I'm doing. Is I'm going to set up. I'm still going to have everything dump into Gmail for archival because it's 2 gig and growing. It's like 2.6 gig right now and keeps getting bigger. So, you know, I'll keep most of my stuff in my Exchange account, but everything is still going to dump into the Gmail account on the back end and then forward to my Exchange account. But the Exchange account is going to be the front end that I tie into with Outlook, Outlook Mobile on my phone, Outlook Web Access if I'm at a PC terminal.
That's
somewhere.
What I was going to say. Do they have the Outlook Web? Because it's just like using Outlook.
Oh, yeah.
For anyone who's not used Outlook,
if you're using Outlook Web Access on Firefox looks a little weird, and not everything works the way it's supposed to. But if you're using Internet Explorer, Outlook Web Access is almost identical to Outlook 2003. It's kind of freaky.
I agree.
So, but that's going to be my next big experiment is seeing how well this hosted exchange really works. Jason Dunn over at Pocket PC Thoughts says that he had the same epiphany moment when he started using hosted exchange that he had when he first started using IMAP. It's like, oh my God, why doesn't everyone do this? He said it makes Windows Mobile smartphone devices about 500 times more useful. So I'm looking forward to that, and I'll keep everybody up to date on how it
definitely
works.
I didn't know it was that cheap. That's a crazy good deal.
Yeah.
All right.
I wouldn't be an affiliate for him if it wasn't a crazy deal, because I'm kind of cheap myself.
You are a crazy cheap bastard. All right. Now for the Comic and Game Corner. I've just decided on the cheesiest little...
Oh, and one more thing. If anyone here does decide to try out forsmartphone.net because of what you've heard here on this podcast, go to writingonyourpalm.net and click on the link. Click on the ad in my sidebar. That way I get credit for referring you.
Yeah, Jeff's all altruistic and stuff. I'm sure that's why he told you all about. All right.
Okay, Josh.
Comic and Game Corner, because I've just decided that's going to be the name because I'm lazy.
Okay, that works.
I want to talk about DirectX 10. This is a Vista technology. It won't be backported to XP. But here's why. The thing about DirectX 10 is it's a departure. It's an evolutionary step, much like a lot of stuff in Vista is graphics-wise. It looks beyond the PC, beyond the CPU, and allows the GPU to do a lot of work. It takes even more stress off it than in previous versions, and it's just, in a lot of ways, it's an almost evolutionary step. I'm putting a link in a link to the white paper in the podcast notes. But what you need to know is some of the renderings and some of the amazing stuff they're doing just with renderings and in-game stuff. The Crytek engine that they're using in Crysis looks amazing in DirectX 10. The faces are the most realistic I've ever seen, and I mean, we're talking real-time stuff here. We're talking just a quantum leap in animation. And a quantum leap in screaming. My daughter has fully entered... entered the Terrible Twos. And there you have it.
Okay.
All right. But DirectX 10 is just... doing some pretty impressive stuff. It'll speed up your computer. It's building a lot of things. Dynamic scenarios, and that's what they talk about. But basically, if you look at a vine that's growing in a game, before, basically, it would have been several stages that were pre-rendered if it had multiple stages, or it would just go from not there to there. This actually allows it to grow organically and really... really look like it's growing and look like time's passing as this vine grows. You know, motion blur, that's a trick. There's a lot of little tricks that they're going to let you do as a graphics designer or a game designer. But, I mean, I encourage everyone to look at the link and go down to the images that are comparing Halo Combat Evolved, which was not a bad, had pretty decent graphics. I mean, people were pretty impressed. I mean, it wasn't the best necessarily, but, and I don't know if Jeff looked at these pictures or not, and compare that to the picture right below it.
I haven't seen it.
Are you in Google Talk, Jeff? Because I want to get your reaction to this when you actually see them. You're not in Google Talk.
All right, let me log into Google Talk real quick here.
But I'm hard to impress. I don't get impressed easily about graphics. And honestly, they're not the most important thing to me. I play games on my laptop. I turn down my detail a lot. It's not... I gotta say, it's not a... it's not my number one thing, but... I'm blown away. DirectX 10, like I said, will not be backported to XP. DirectX 10 only games are a ways away. Well, not ways, it'll be Vista-only games. Just a second, my cat thinks my computer is a stepping stone. Anyway, you see them their pictures, Jeff?
Holy crap. I would have mistaken the guy in the foreground for Seal. That looks like Seal.
How realistic is that?
Oh,
check out
God.
The lighting.
Right down to the weird little pockmarks.
Check out
the
pores. I mean, you guys gotta look at this, and anybody that thinks it's crap, let me know. Because I'm looking to hand out some ass weapons.
this looks like a real person. I mean, it doesn't look like a game. I don't know how well it's gonna move.
It'll supposedly move very well. Crysis, this is from the company who brought us Far Cry. I'm not sure if you remember how big a deal Far Cry was, other than it being one of the first games.
Far Cry was...
Yeah. This is their next generation engine. But they're all about... I mean, they're what id was 10 years ago. Because, I gotta say, I haven't been impressed with some of the stuff Carmack's put out engine-wise. Doom 3's okay, but, it's some really neat lighting stuff, but I think the guys working on Crysis and the Crytek engine are light years ahead of what I'm seeing out of id. So anyway, yet another reason...
Oh my God, look at the difference between the scenery. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And those clouds are dynamically generated? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's actually a render, but the intention is that it will be able to
you folks
live do that.
Yeah, you folks are really going to need to see this.
Like I said, I'm not easily impressed. But now...
But keep in mind, you're going to have to be running Vista to get
DirectX 10. That's the thing. But I can honestly see why. I mean, it's such a departure and really is using some of the display technologies in Vista. They could backport it. It would be a lot to backport, and I don't see any motivation for them to do it. Because this gives people, gamers especially, a reason to move on. DirectX 10 only games will be kind of rare for the next year and a half. As Vista becomes more popular amongst gamers, companies will start rolling out DirectX 10 only games. So anyway, that's all I got, but I just wanted to talk about that. That's my wrap up, I guess. Anything you want to say in closing, Jeff?
That's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, I got impressed about a gaming technology.
If you haven't...
Okay, how about that?
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen these demos, you've got to go look at them, because, wow.
All right. Well, as soon as I can figure out how to get to TeamSpeak. All right, I'd say that's it for Maximum Geek 66. Later.